get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
This is Joe DeRosa.
This is Kurt Brown Holer.
Oh.
Stick it in the brown hole.
I don't know why you want to do it.
That's what he likes.
This is emotional
hang. He likes to stick it in a brown hole.
This is the podcast. I'm going to ignore it. I'm now going to ignore it because it's otherwise
when
we talk about it every
single
episode.
When we were doing the sound check,
Brown Holer. That's how I say my name.
Do you understand that you're saying brown holer? Do you understand that? You don't even hear it yourself. Listeners, here's another thing you can send to us now. I want you all to tell us if Kurt says his name is brown holer or not.
Brown holer.
Brown holer. That's what you're saying.
Oh, my God.
Listeners, please tell us.
I like that you're telling me what my fucking name is. You're mansplaining my name own name.
You're right, because you can't. You're not allowed to disagree anymore, or it's mansplaining. You're right.
This is a podcast about adult friendship. As you can tell, very good friends.
And you're right. I am mansplaining because I'm not talking to a man. I'm talking to a little bitch.
This is a podcast where we get nice and vulnerable.
That made me
with
very
each other.
Happy.
It really did, didn't it?
So on the count of three, one, two, three.
Let's get soft.
Kurt, before we bring our wonderful guests in, I have two shout-outs to make to two listeners. Donut at Donut Pal, Danielle, hello. And also to Chelsea at Snacky Lame, hello. These are two very nice women that tweeted me and told me that they would gladly be my platonic wife, which is a brilliant idea if I do pat myself on the back. And,
Please do, Joe.
Two lovely women responded and said they would gladly do it. And Courtney also said, can you come to Portland? And we are working on it. So that's great. But here's the interesting thing. Chelsea, and you can write to me and correct me if I'm wrong, and I can't find the original tweets. I think Chelsea is the woman that wrote to us about with the women in comedy question.
Oh, yeah.
Who I gave advice to, and then got shit from some people saying
and
my advice
said,
was callous.
She said,
and then,
I appreciated the advice.
Yeah, and she said, no, I love the advice. Yeah. It was great. So that's cool that she's a either way, it's cool, whether it's you or not. But I'm glad that happened.
So we also asked the question. Now I'll just bring this up a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we won't. But definitely next week we're going to talk about this. But last week, if you're listening, Joe gets all the questions. People want to reach out to Joe. No one reaches out to me. And I think my feelings were hurt. I was sad.
You were really mad.
I was sad. I wasn't mad. I was sad. And I thought, well, maybe this is it. Maybe I'm just an unlikable human.
Right.
And then here is from someone who was asked not to be named, but I thought she had a good point. Have you considered if you just have more emotional walls up than Joe?
Ooh.
I met Joe briefly at Clusterfest and told him I loved emo hangs, and he was like, you don't think we're too mean to each other? People say I'm too mean. And I thought, oh, he cares what people say. So I didn't think it's helpful of me to be silent about nice things. But I think even just listening to the podcast, you can notice your differences. You say you're super busy, and Joe says he doesn't have much going on. Joe talks about people who say mean things to him, and you tell him those people are stupid. You're right on all counts, but I don't feel like risking my feelings with you.
I know who this is. I remember talking to this person.
Why write something that makes me feel anxiety-ridden and vulnerable when I don't know what problems you have that I can help with, and there's a chance you'll just decide I'm awful and write me off?
Ooh.
And that's just the middle thing. Very interesting. A lot of stuff in there.
Well, we'll get into that. We should get into that. Actually, that's a regular episode.
That's
discussion.
A regular episode. Oh, 100%. I just wanted to say that. And I also, that's just one of many direct messages I got.
Okay, so
about
then,
why people like me less than you.
They're all saying they like you less?
No. They're all
they
saying,
said, you seem like you have your shit together. Joe seems like a scumbag that you'd talk to in a bar about things. I got a lot of that.
Yeah.
Which I found flattering, quite frankly. It didn't bother me.
But it's more that you're more approachable than I am.
Well,
that's
because,
what people
say. I feel I'm definitely the schlubbier the lug?
I don't know. I mean, like, all right, we'll talk. This is something for a regular episode.
So stay tuned next week.
We'll
get into the responses to me and Kurt's personality from the audience next week on Emotional Hangs. But this week, we have two wonderful guests here.
So excited about this.
Two good friends of ours.
They're right now snapping Polaroids, like actual Polaroids.
With a pink pin.
We couldn't be more like, girlfriends, just having fun.
Ladies
taking pictures and baths together.
Welcome to the show, Lizzie Cooperman and Nikki Glazer.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
This is fun.
Thank you for being
here. Can I weigh in on why?
Please, people.
I mean, I think that person, whoever that was, like, kind of nailed it. Like, Joe is more emotionally available in terms of, like, he puts more out there so people feel closer to him in that way. But I, as a listener, I don't listen to the show, but if I would sense that people, I would rather reach out to Joe on social media and stuff because I don't want to bother you, and I know he'll read it, and he'll also engage with it, and he wants to read it. Yes. Like, that seems like something he's into doing, and you're busy with the kids.
Yeah,
so, like,
Kurt has a richer life.
No, it's not like that at all, actually.
Well, here's the funny part about that, and I would agree at the general assessment. Kurt engages way more with the listeners than I ever do.
That's the thing that hurts me.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
I engage because I'm stuck at home. I have nothing to do
right.
but look at this Twitter feed because I don't go out anymore. I just take care of a child for the most part.
Right.
So it's like,
that
I'm just like,
that is interesting.
Oh, hey, yeah, response.
Right.
But here's the funny thing is Kurt actually engages with the listeners.
I do.
Far more. I rarely ever engage with anybody on Twitter anymore. Well, I just kind of heart
things. I didn't realize that. That really does change things, and I don't know why that I guess you're just, people aren't going to, like, in what way are they engaging with Joe more than you? Like,
well, they're sending him compliments. They're asking him questions.
They think he needs it to get through the day.
I've also, I will say this, and this is not me giving myself an accolade, but this is the reality of the situation. I've admitted to a lot of crazy shit on here. I've admitted to cocaine use. I've admitted to my experiences with transsexual people. I've admitted to a lot.
That's
you
true.
Know, bad breakups,
what?
Depression, things like that.
I didn't know you had experiences with transsexual people.
So it's, you know, yeah, well, I had a transsexual experience in Amsterdam, and I talked about it on here. I talked about, you know, not drug addiction by any stretch, but I've talked about my drug use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like Hannah and Her Sisters with Kurt, which is my favorite film. You're like Mia Farrow.
You made me watch that, and I'm glad you did. I love that movie. Yeah.
It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. But it's like you're like Mia Farrow in that movie where she seems to be so collected, and then people start to get, they don't go to her to open up about things because it's like, well, you wouldn't understand. Your life is fine. You
oh
know
my
what
God.
I mean?
I just had that with a friend, a really close friend, and Lizzie knows about it, that I have a friend who just, like, works on herself so hard and it doesn't lie and doesn't, like, she has all these great moral, like, behaviors that are, like, make her very happy and sane. And I just, going to her with something where it's like, I feel a little bit like a bad person. I feel so judged. And it's not even me. Mm-hmm. It's not even her judging me. It's me putting my own judgment of myself onto her because I'm like, well, you just think you're so much better than me, you know?
Right.
And I think that people think you think that you're better than them.
But that's the thing. That's what I'm honestly, I'm constantly shocked. I think when I first started doing stand-up, that's something I had to deal with a lot of, like, how do people see me when I just, like, stand there and start talking?
I remember that being a thing we were supposed to do in a comedy class is go up to someone in the mall.
What?
Have a partner. You go into the mall, and you have your friend go up to someone and go, I'm doing a social experiment for my college class. Just can you tell me what you think about that person over there and, like, tell you things about you, which I never would want to do because I wouldn't want to know that. But, like, just to see how people see you.
Yeah.
Right.
In, like, an honest way when they don't think you're going to ever know about it.
I do that on stage sometimes. Like,
you
honestly.
Do what? You ask the audience?
I'll be in the middle of, I was at UCB the other night, and I got into it with this cyclist when I was getting out of my car. Because he almost hit my door.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, fuck you, man. And I'm like, hey, fuck you. I'm in a fucking car. You're on a fucking bicycle. I'm parking my car. It's not on me to fucking look out for the door opening for you. You know, and like it really got like heated outside of UCB.
But wait, no, it is on you to watch
out
for opening
the door.
It's not my fucking problem.
Yeah,
it's
you should take a look and see if there's a bicyclist coming.
I don't give a shit. Don't give a shit at all. Don't give a shit at all about cyclists or motorcyclists. They want to fucking ride in the street with the rest of us. You take your fucking chances with the rest of us. I'm tired of motorcycles getting to go around the bar and parking garages. I'm tired of motorcycles going between the cars and traffic.
If you travel more energy efficiently, I think you get to be an asshole like that. You get to do stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, fuck that.
If you take mass off the road, good for you. I agree
100% with Nick. You get to act like a little bit of an asshole.
I don't agree at all. I think you're
also,
in the street.
Also, there's nothing to protect you. As a bicyclist, you're just exposed.
Mm-hmm. Here's
you're
the other
just
thing,
like a vulnerable
But here's the other thing that cyclists do. When you're in their way, they don't slow down. They ring their little fucking bell and go, move.
Because if they slow down, it is more dangerous.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is absolutely not more dangerous.
They
do that on the sidewalk, too.
Here's what I'm saying. I think in New York, it's a whole different beast with cyclists. But my dad cycles in St. Louis, and people try to run him off the road. Like, people are just so angry at cyclists for some reason. And so and he has almost, like, been really seriously injured by drivers just being angry.
Yeah. Well, that's terrible.
But also, like, I think it's this kind of, like, fucking cyclists think that, like, it's like with vegans. People, like, hate vegans because people are just, like, jealous that they're not doing something better for themselves.
No.
I think I'm a little bit jealous of it.
It's worse for you. Doctors will tell you that. It's worse for you.
It's so
precious and stupid. But listen.
Okay.
But hold on. I'm talking about when you walk. If you're walking and you walk into a bike path by accident.
Yeah, they just go ding, ding.
Yeah, and they're like, it's like, slow the fuck down, dude.
If
I'm driving and you run out in front of my car, I have to stop.
Because you can kill someone.
A cyclist could kill somebody.
No.
But the thing is, a cyclist, you're going faster. It is the person, is the pedestrian's responsibility to look into the bike lane before they walk into it.
Then why isn't it the pedestrian's responsibility to look into the street before a car?
Because it is.
It's on you. If you had a pedestrian in your car, that is on you.
No, it isn't. They actually say the best place to kill someone, if you want to commit murder, get that person in New York City and hit him with your car because you will not face any repercussions. You can go, you get away scot-free. I will send you the article. It was Freakonomics did a whole episode about the best way to murder someone is to hit them with your car in New York City because no one gets prosecuted
for
it.
Holy shit.
We're digressing.
Also, have you ever ridden a bike as your mode of transportation?
Yes, and I was very careful to keep my eye out for people opening their fucking doors.
I've seen you on your unicycle.
That is the one thing. He prefers a single wheel.
My point is this. I open the door. The response to me is not, fuck you, dude.
No, of course not.
Slow down.
Right, that guy's an asshole.
And
whoa. And it's like, whoa, dude, shit. So when he starts coming at me like that, I'm going to go right back as hard. You're not going to get a fucking sympathy reaction.
Right.
But here's my point. I went into UCB after that
and
told the story.
And
was just like, guys, is it my fault? Tell me if it's my fault. And somebody was like, yeah, it's your fault. And I was like, okay, I don't know.
Why didn't you just say that instead of us having to argue with you?
Because I couldn't do this in my 7-minute UCB set. I couldn't get into the discussion.
Okay, that's a good point.
It was going to waste too much time. But
I need to have more conversations with you while you're doing sets.
Yeah.
They would go a lot smoother.
So to get off of Joe's rage issues.
They're not rage issues.
Joe has the best rage issues ever.
From 0 to 10 opening a door.
Because everybody.
I love it so much.
That's why people love to reach out to him. He's just like, if he's this fucked up, he's a universal rage.
One of the most insane phone calls of my life was Joe at Verizon.
This was 8 years ago, be fair. Yeah, yeah.
It was so funny, though. It was like, I would give anything for you to call me anytime you're in a scenario like that where you are. He goes, call the cops. I don't care. I'll wait. He's like in a showdown with a woman on the phone with me. That was insane.
She wouldn't give me my money back. And they promised I could have my money back.
I like that you can still feel, you can taste the rage 8 years ago.
She goes, call the cops. She goes, I'm going to call the cops. And I go, call them. I'm right. I'm going to tell them you stole from me.
I want to talk to them.
Let's go. And I was like, I'll go get the cops. And I went outside and called cops. I was like, come on in here. These people stole from me. No, they were just outside. It was New York. There's a cop on every corner in New York.
So So,
anyway, Lizzie, that was a fun day.
Oh my God.
Lizzie and Nikki.
Yes.
You guys are friends. Did you guys become, when did you guys become friends?
Oh my gosh.
2006. At the comedy store.
We were smoking. And Nikki.
And we were standing by ourselves. Yeah. And I tell the story a lot because it was instant friendship. So I was smoking. I didn't have a light. I saw Lizzie smoking. And I go, excuse me, do you have a light? And she was like, she just grabbed her bag. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And she just starts like just shuffling through her humongous bag, like her dirty bag. And I'm just being like kind of frazzled about
it. It was like a tornado of
like. And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was just like, and I kind of just stepped closer to be like, can I help you like in any, like hold something? And she goes, oh, my God, I would literally rather you see in my vagina than in my bag right now. And I was like, I love you. I just remember I was like, we're instant friends.
It was a tornado of like gum foil, yeah, like every tobacco time and like little like
you pull like out a piece of gum out, like, and it has, yeah, a penny with a piece of hair,
yeah,
on it.
Was
it's
so
like,
gross.
That's,
I mean,
my
lining
purse
was torn out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was the, and then we realized that she knew someone who I hated, who had just like dumped me and broke my heart. And
yes,
that was our first person in common.
That's right.
And then
right.
I said,
oh yeah,
you go, you out were talking about phone, him. Yeah. And I go, yeah, I was like, he's out of my phone, out of my life. And so she's always remembered that. And so whenever we dump a guy, we go, out of my phone, out of my life.
Yeah, it's an acronym.
So that's our first, that's our meet.
That's pretty great.
So yeah. And then we just, oh yeah, and I was going to Montreal the next day and I couldn't say anything. Because
back then
you weren't allowed to tell anybody.
You're
and then
still
the next
not,
day,
and you were
oh,
super
oh, for new
scared
faces or something?
Yeah, so she was going for new faces and she couldn't say anything. That was the night before you
and
left.
And you messaged me the next day and you were like, oh my God, I just saw, like you sent me like a really nice message. And I was friends now.
Yeah.
And then, so was that like, when did you guys decide that you guys were going to be like, where you're like, oh, I really like this person.
I think
like,
the first time we met.
Really?
Yeah. It was,
wow.
it was I decide like that with friends. It's like friendship at first sight kind of thing.
That's kind of amazing.
And so I think she got back from Montreal and then we just like, because by that summer we were like developing stupid fucking web series together. That
it's called Giant Child.
So Lizzie was going to be a giant. Okay, so this is
the
time.
The arc is that I went to Montreal and Taylor Williamson was there. Do you know Taylor?
I know who he is.
He won like second
place
on America's
Got Talent. I was thinking of the guy from American Idol for some reason.
Taylor. What do they call his people that loved him?
Philip Phillips.
Oh my God, I love Philip Phillips.
We were best friends with Philip Phillips.
Ahmed.
I was thinking of Ahmed. I know Taylor. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Taylor Williamson. Yeah, so anyway, they went to Montreal together. I also met Taylor Williamson separately that week. It was the first week I moved to LA. I was just trying to find friends. And I met them separately as friends. Yeah. They went to Montreal together, and then the three of us kind of came together.
We used to hang out all the time. We used to go
all
to restaurants. Like we'd be like, let's go to Pickup Sticks. Like out of all the places in LA, we would go to Baja Fresh and Pickup Sticks.
Yes.
What's Pickup Sticks?
It's like a fast Asian cuisine.
It's like P.F. Chang's, but like a different, a
so
lower
it's Panda
level.
Express.
Yeah, it's Chipotle It's like Panda Express. It's a step above Panda Express.
It's above Panda
Express.
But anyway, this
it's
was
really
at a time
good
when there was like all these like web series were big. You know, ironic to be like, I'm doing a web
2006?
Series.
2006?
Yeah.
This was 2006.
Oh, yeah.
So
I made a web series.
And then
in 2006.
That's actually early for him. This was about 2007. I think we got together and we decided we were going to make this web series called Giant Child. And it's kind of brilliant. It was with Taylor Williamson.
Yes.
Where I am the mother and Lizzie is my child. And she's just like, she's 4 years old, but she has the body of a woman. And
like
she's
an
like,
over-sexualized. Like,
but like, she's
child. And I was going to be pushed in a stroller like this and call my bra my binky. And I'd be like, I need a new binky. Like, and Taylor was going to be my Manny and Nikki was going to be my mom.
Why didn't you do it?
But the thing was, Taylor going to be like, Taylor is like this 20-year-old, really awkward kid at the time.
Yeah.
So he was going to be this like really uncomfortable because he was going
to
have like,
be, like attracted
to this
and
4-year-old.
And I was going to change my binky.
And I was going to be like exasperated and just like a single mother, like trying to lead my life. And we had this loose pitch and we went in. We also, our backup pitch was the Hermit Crab Whisperer.
Oh, yeah, Sylvia the Hermit Crab Whisperer. So now, you came up with that last minute. That was, like, power thinking.
Oh, well.
Like, she was like, Emma,
we didn't make that either.
Okay.
But who you're pitching, Super Deluxe?
No, we were pitching to Comedy Central. Bart Coleman, of all people, who booked at midnight, and amongst other things, was the development executive for the website of things then. And so we pitched to him. But before we went into the pitch, we were in the waiting room at Comedy Central. And we're like
watching,
kind of practicing and going over it. And then we realized like it's Comedy Central's playing on this giant screen. And
it was Mad TV, right?
But they were playing episodes of Mad TV. And it was.
And I was watching it and I go, guys, and I pointed to the TV and no joke, it was our show, but Bobby Lee was my character. And it was the exact same show.
Wait, really?
Like, playing on the TV,
Like, and so I remember Lizzie just going, should I put a blanket over it? That she tried to, like, drape something.
Did you still pitch it? Did you still go and pitch it?
They didn't notice that that was it, but we were just like, this is ridiculous.
We can't.
And just looking back going in, we were just like children at a meeting.
Like, we made copies. Like, that was as far as we got.
We were like children.
I printed things. Pass out.
That's
like
such
an adult
That's such
meeting.
A funny idea.
I mean,
love
it could still,
still do it.
Yeah,
I would love to. Well, no, it's been done. Don't now. It would be stealing.
No,
we can change it.
I think
no,
the
no. You should let it go.
Bobby
at this
to
point.
Sign off. Maybe we can connect the two.
This is a pitch, right?
Get Bobby Lee in there. I really would like to see Bobby Lee in a stroller
God, Bobby.
But if it was adopted twins,
oh my God, that would be fantastic.
Oh my God, you guys,
and just like a giant double push stroller.
I love it.
Yeah,
I remember Bobby Lee. Once when they had the Laugh Factory in New York and smoking had been banned everywhere in New York like that year or something. I was opening for him at the Laugh Factory in New York and we were sitting in the lounge and he goes, you want a cigarette? And I was like, we can't smoke in here. And he's like, yes, we can. He's like, watch how mad Jamie Masada is going to get. and he just lit a cigarette. He was smoking. And Jamie came running in like, what are you doing, Bobby? What are you doing? And he's like, look how fucking mad you get, man. It's so funny.
Dude, what are you doing, Bobby?
Should I put it out? Jamie, you need me to put it out? And then he would leave and he would light another cigarette.
I love him.
And Jamie would come in screaming again.
It's amazing.
It was so funny.
He's funny.
Anyway, so you guys met 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, has it been steady steady hanging since then, or were there gaps?
Gaps.
How about when you moved back? Because Nikki moved back to New York, I remember.
Yeah. Well, in Lizzie's front teeth.
In my front teeth, which are now closed thanks to Invisalign.
Look, thank you, Invisalign.
Thank you. Thank
Did you have a gap? Did you used to have a gap?
Yeah.
I don't even remember it.
Yeah, I had a gap.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
It seems like it raped you or something. The way I'm like talking about it.
And also, like you like ran your tongue over your teeth.
Yes,
you're like,
yes.
I did have a gap.
I'd rather not go into it, but I had a gap.
So wait, you
it was the foxhole.
Yeah, we had I moved. We like had a falling out for a little bit at one point. I think because I was making new friends, she was making friends separately, and then there was like a weird thing. We got in like a little tiff that like we.
I don't remember us actually having a fight. To be honest,
elaborate. Okay. What do you remember?
Well, what was the tiff? Can I tell the story? Because it's embarrassing to me, not you. I tend to, like, when I'm hanging out with people who I think are just so funny and I like, I just start sounding like them. Yeah. I've done it in high school. I did it, like, when I started comedy, I watched Sarah Silverman too much and I just end up sounding like them. And it was like I didn't realize it was a problem, but I was watching Lizzie so much and going to shows with her every night. On stage, I started sounding like her a little bit, which happens. It totally happens. And I didn't even realize this, but an open micer told Lizzie that I was doing her on stage. A guy that we were friends with, and I still see, and I'm just like, fuck you.
Who
now.
Is it?
We don't want to say.
I don't want to say. He means
fine.
Well, yeah. But it was just like he could have
so
gone to
long
me
ago
about
that anything that I mean. It's been
this was 2007 or 8. Jake Weissman wasn't born yet.
He means
just,
well. It's like the cyclist again. There's a way you handle it, though.
Exactly.
You don't do it that way.
Yeah. He could have said something to me about
exactly.
it, but then he told Lizzie, and then no one told me that Lizzie knew this or that anyone had thought
That's
this.
That's so crazy.
So then I eventually found out from... Who did I find out from? You had told someone, and I think they told me that that was the case, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I was embarrassed. I was also like... But you had just, like, kind of stopped, like, you had pulled back a little bit, because you were pissed. And so that to me was the beginning of, like, us not really... And then we were friends again, but then I remember I didn't go to your 30th birthday party, and Taylor was like, she was really hurt. And then I think after that, I moved away, and then we just didn't hang out.
Were you hurt, Lizzie?
She doesn't remember.
I remember, I have a memory of being at the lab and feeling like there was like a distance between us, but I don't remember that much specifically about it. Remember when the lab, improv lab used to be like, look like a puppet theater?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah, it's funny how like you remember certain things because
I remember you lived in my apartment in Koreatown, and I remember actually being mad about something else.
Is this going to be so embarrassing?
No, it's not embarrassing at all.
We have a segment at the end called Air It Out. Do you want to save this for that?
No.
Or
no,
or is this
now, we'll get something now.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Air It Out.
It's about pussies.
We just have like
we have a lot of vagina stuff that's happened recently. So wait, what did I do in your apartment?
This was like
I have so many things about
that
apartment that
because I okay that apartment was I lived in this. I don't even know.
She lived like, in Koreatown
in this like
studio.
In a box, but I used it as a storage space.
I liked
I was
it.
Dating. A comic who was 21 years older than me.
Yeah.
And so
I lived in her place.
You
I
were
at
like,
least.
I was like
28.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who
yeah.
Can you say
I
who it was?
I was 28. Yeah.
Can you say who it was, or is that a secret?
It was. 40, I moved here for him. 40, yeah, I can say only because he talked about me on a podcast.
There you go.
Okay. Well, who was
it? It was Wayne Fetterman.
Okay.
Oh, really? I never knew you guys dated.
I was like madly in love with him.
Yeah. I moved here for him.
From New York. I remember.
He's a charming man. I mean, I don't know if you guys have.
I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
We were all different people back then.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened?
I remember this, but this wasn't even like a Nikki Glick.
Yeah.
It was you stayed in my apartment. I remember, and I have boxes of like writing and stuff that I've been storing forever. I remember you were like, oh my god, I read your one woman show. It's amazing.
Oh,
and I was like,
my god,
how did Nikki get into my boxes?
I remember that. That's what a fucking intrusion. What an asshole.
But
I just jumped into her comedy book.
I remember like reading her shit. Like I definitely
yes,
was like a little sister, a little pesky sister reading your shit.
It's a real Blanche Devereaux move on your part.
Honestly, it's like so not who I am now that it doesn't register as like it was just alcoholic.
But here's the parallel between both of those incidents is they're flattering.
Right.
Like it's not like it's like Nikki did something that was like
I definitely read your diary and I wouldn't do that now ever.
Cruel or intentional. Like it was just like
but I just remember reading her diary. Mm-hmm. I'll say this because I remember reading your like a diary of yours.
God.
And I told you this later. I told her this much later. What?
So it wasn't just a comedy book.
No,
you were reading her diary.
No, because
as well.
My story from this was gonna be like I read your diary once and I didn't even realize I was so fucked up. That's such a fucked up thing to do. I don't read people's shit. I really don't. I would never do that.
Would you like come home like drunk and just be like,
I want to find out what Lizzie thinks. But I remember reading one thing.
It is interesting that there was a time where you did think it was okay.
Right. But I did tell you this. I told you this diary thing recently and was like really embarrassed to admit I did it and said I'm sorry when I told you about this thing I'm about to tell. But I did, like a year ago.
Okay.
But, like, I did not realize it was wrong until I was, like, reflecting.
No, I like talking about this.
No, but I remember reading something that she had written, and I was, like, I just remember being, like, God, Lizzie's a woman, and you're a fucking girl, and you need to get your shit together, because this lady, she has, like, real woman thoughts, and it's, like, it was, like, reading fucking, you know, some woman from, like, I don't even know. It's like reading
like a
something
French
you
woman.
Read in or, like, in...
Yeah, it's like you opened, like, an Emily Dickinson
yes,
thing,
like a diary of, like, a writer. Like, a really, like, a woman who kills herself in her oven. Who's that woman? Jane Austen. Did Jane Austen kill herself?
No, I don't think so.
No, isn't that Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
No.
Isn't that Jane Austen?
No! Oh my God!
Who is that?
Jane Austen wrote
Wuthering
Heights. I'm so glad you like up. You like way surpassed my stupidity.
Who's Dr. Quinn? Who is that? She's so hot.
She's
you
so
mean
hot.
She was also in?
She's
she was also
ageless.
In. Was she also the woman in Star Trek? The like the lead. Woman
I,
in Star
I think
Trek?
I think she was Kirk's mom, but she's the
Dr. Quinn.
She's the mom
that?
in Wedding Crashers
yes,
that like
yes.
tries desperately to fuck
yeah.
Owen Wilson, and he's like complaining about it as the creepy brother is trying to fuck Vince Vaughn. And Vince Vaughn is like, "What are you fucking complaining about?"
I've
like,
still never seen that movie.
It's funny.
I know. I should see it.
The
but
anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
I just remember reading your diary and thinking like, you're that I was living a lie as a woman.
Funny.
Yeah. So I just thought you were cool. But so it's all positives that came of it, but it was like, I'm really sorry I read your diary.
It's totally okay.
It's so not who I am now.
I also have never like Nikki.
But you also don't keep a diary now. I've looked for it and
it might be in your car, actually. But
so did you guys keep up when Nikki moved to New York?
Was
when you moved to New York, did that coincide with the sort of falling
out? I moved to St. Louis first, and then I moved to New York from St. Louis. So I was gone for six and a half years.
How long did you go back to St. Louis for?
A year and a half.
Really?
A year and a half.
Just to get back up on your feet?
I was really planning on just staying there for a month, and you know how that just, like, turns into...
Yeah.
I was saving money, living at home with my parents, and just working the road driving places.
Okay.
And I just had, like, the best year and a half of drinking with old high school friends. Yeah. It was, like, the greatest year. I got fat and, like, just didn't give
Loved
a fuck.
It.
And it was just St. Louis fat,
yep.
fucking drunk
yep.
fun.
It's awesome. So much fun.
It was great. But anyway, so then I moved to New York. And then I think I started coming here to do more. Whenever I'd come here for at midnight or anything, I'd always call up Lizzie and
yes.
be like, let's get a meal. And then we'd catch up and have these, like, just amazing
yes.
one-on-ones. And then when I moved back here, she was, like, the first person that I hit up
yes.
to be friends. And
then
that was 2 years ago.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was working at The Soup at the time,
mm-hmm.
and you had your show, and I submitted for your show.
For Nikki and Sarah?
Yeah, or for Not Safe.
Yeah,
That was, like, the most recent one. And then we got together. I remember we went to Alcove. Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
and I told
Alcove.
Her that I had
oh yeah
Lyme. And... she was the first person, I feel like emotionally in saying this, I felt like you were the first person who, like, took it in.
Aww.
Because I felt like, and this is something about you that I think is actually, like, an attribute when we're like, she read your diet or whatever. She's actually interested in other people and not just herself.
Yeah, she's really interested.
Yeah.
So she goes to the diary level.
But it's true. Like, there's no one else who could see inside of me like that. And so when I had that conversation with her, I had been caring a lot. And I felt like she was, like, the first person who could, like, hold it.
Absorb it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who was, like, really, like, oh, my, like, who I felt like was feeling
no, I
for
felt
a minute what
really
I was
good
feeling.
Being, coming back into each other's lives
yeah.
when we did because... I felt like you, I'm really glad I was there for you during that. And
yeah,
like, it was good for me to be there for you during that. Like, it was a perfect, you're just like, you're like, oh my God, I'm glad this person
yeah.
had me.
Yes.
Because I could help you. I could be your friend.
That's
the
great.
Stars totally
yeah.
aligned.
And there's nothing
there.
Worse when you're going through something like that or like something that you're,
it's,
either there's shame related to it or it's just.
And people don't understand
and
it.
People
like, people don't understand Lyme.
They don't
at
understand
all.
Lyme and they don't, people don't
no,
understand
don't.
Anything that doesn't really relate to them. People have so much,
yeah.
such a lack of empathy, especially in our business. Mm. Everyone's a fucking narcissist and in their own shit.
It's so gross.
And so it's so hard to find someone that actually is going to listen and not put their shit on it. And
yeah.
I love my friends who do that for me, and I'm so appreciative of it that I love to be able to do it for people because it's everything when you're going through
yeah.
something.
And you have to do that for your friends.
And no one gets therapy either when they should.
You
so
have,
you have to like kind of be like, here's a little taste.
Yeah, here's what it's like.
Yeah.
You have to do that for your friends. And I think it is a positive byproduct of being in this business. If you're a decent human being, you know, the other people that don't do it are just gross horror shows. But it's one of the reasons why... people, you know, the guy in my neighborhood had a sign on his lawn that said, my house, I power my house with solar energy. And I took a picture of it and tweeted it. And
yeah.
It was basically like, ooh, you know.
Did he reach out to you?
Pat yourself on the back. I didn't know who the guy was.
Oh, right.
I didn't, like, show his address or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were like, well, big deal. He's doing a good thing. And it's like, no, like, everybody thinks, like, that side of me being reactionary to shit like that is me being a prick. It's not me being a prick. It's me saying, like... fuck you. Fuck your patting yourself on the back.
Yes, exactly.
Fuck you telling other people to look at you. Why don't you look at somebody else for a change? Maybe that makes your neighbor feel like shit because they can't fucking afford to have
right,
solar panels
right.
put in their house.
That is the thing. It's like
right.
it's very expensive to
it's
have
gross.
Solar panels.
It's gross to just like brag about it.
Yeah.
I want to. Can I tell a quick story about if it's okay? Cut me off if it's not okay.
I
want to tell
care.
About something that I did when I first met you.
Oh.
I know you probably remember this.
Okay.
When I first met Nikki, it was at Comics in New York. And she came in, and I was like, ooh, who's she? Because I thought she was a very pretty blonde-haired woman. and I thought she was funny and cool. She did a set and what. And she just, like, was, I was like, we were already friends on, like, MySpace or something.
Yeah.
You were the first woman I ever did this with, but this was such a breakthrough in my life, I have to give you,
oh.
I have to tell you this. So she split, before I could talk to her. And I remember calling Amy Schumer and saying, I want that Nikki girl's phone number. I want to call her. And Amy was like, does she know you're going to call her? And I was like, no, but I feel like this is a good thing. I'm just going to call her. And she gave me your number and I called you. And I was like, that was like the moment in my life where I was like, oh, you can just be like very forward like that in a polite way. And I remember when I was calling, I was like, even if this blows up in my face, this girl is cool enough that like I can tell it won't be weird or shitty.
Yes.
And that was like a huge moment in my life that I got to share with you.
Well, that was a huge moment for me too, because I think it was the first time that someone who was available and who liked me reached out and I was like, yeah, like as opposed to pursuing someone or giving someone a chance who I knew was like either had a girlfriend or like or someone shitty. Like you were just nice and asked me out. It was the first time being asked out and being like, okay. Yeah.
Wait, did you guys go out on a date?
Yeah. In fact, our first date was, this was also awesome. And this was a moment where I was like, I like this person. I'm like, this is somebody I want in my life. We met at Cabin. Mm-hmm. I remember it was in like Staten Island or something. I was doing some terrible show. And I raced back to meet you at Cabin. Yeah. This is when you're still drinking. Uh-huh. And we had a few drinks at Cabin. And it was kind of gross and sweaty the way that bar always was in New York.
It really was.
And you were like, I don't know, what do you want to do? And I just go, do you want to get 40s and go hang out at my house?
Oh, my God. I just responded to that like, yes! Yeah. Like, that sounds so good to me right now.
Yeah. And we got back, and I remember you were, and I was like, she wants to do that? This is fucking awesome. And then we went to my apartment, and she, I remember you were like, do you have any Wilco? And I was like, as a matter of fact, I do. And we were just
so into Wilco
that's
at the
so
time.
Funny.
Get over
but
it.
But we had a blast. We drank 40s and watched, like, The Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It was a fucking awesome time. But that was, like, a huge, because the other day I called somebody that I didn't know that well. No, it wasn't the same thing. But I called somebody I didn't know very well. And
I was like, do you want to watch Get 40s and listen to Wilco?
Yeah, do you want to come over with
40s? And watch Nikki's special.
Yeah. And I was sort of nervous, but I didn't care. I was just like, this is like, and I thought to myself, this is like the Nikki thing, man. You did this like 10 years ago.
You just do it. And it's so refreshing. And I feel like more guys should do that. And because it's all confidence. And there's nothing more confident than someone just being like, hey, I liked you and I want to take you out. And
Kurt,
you're just
remember
like, okay.
When we ran into each other at the drawing room?
We did it.
So many memories.
Now,
we
did.
Now, but
wait, I do remember running into you at I was very drunk, though. Wait, did we run into each other?
No, probably. Okay. I feel like probably.
I got so nervous.
I was trying to create a memory.
You were very drunk.
I was very drunk.
And speaking of drinking and drunk, and this is very admirable, I went to Lizzie's, I popped by Lizzie's party the other, she had a birthday party the other night, and I popped
yes,
by.
Yes, you were invited.
Oh, I was,
Lauren.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was very crowded, and I wasn't drinking, so I left, and it was hot, and it was loud. But very impressive turnout. Lizzie, you are a very well-liked person.
I was just saying this last night to Alex Edelman.
So nice.
We were talking about how Lizzie, like her birthday, it just showed like how much she's loved and how what a great person she is.
You weren't talking about his Edinburgh show?
I
love
that
Alex.
That pertains to millennials.
Yeah, I know. I love Alex, but yeah, that's. I don't think I've ever talked to him once where the 1 hour Edinburgh show has
Oh my come God. Up. He just got done telling me he read all the reviews for this year's. I'm like, you're
what?
Not there. He's so cute.
I was walking into Lizzie's party and he stopped me at the door, like as I was showing the bouncer my ID, and he goes, dude, I was just thinking about you. And I went, oh, really? And I took the idea and I just went inside. I was like, I can't go down this, like.
That's so funny.
What are you developing right now?
Yeah, but.
He's a good kid.
He's such a good kid. No,
I love Alex.
I don't care if he'd hear this. But you're a piece of shit, Alex.
That place
was
fucking
packed. And Lizzie coordinating, because we like put it together kind of. Like we were just like inviting people via text together. And she was like, I'm worried that's like it's gonna be too big, no one's gonna be there. And I'm like, don't fucking worry. You don't know how much people love you.
But there are like years where you contract and years where you expand, and you can tell by your birthday party.
I
felt like I had a more open year this year, and I felt like I like let more people into my life, where I feel like in the past I've been more like closed, and these are my, you know.
And where are you? Do you mind if I ask? Where are you with Lime?
Oh, okay. I think I'm like 90% better.
That's great.
But
congratulations.
Thank you. I don't have the kind of Lyme that makes me exhausted.
Okay.
So the way I can tell when something's like going wrong, I get like sneak attacks. Uh-huh. Like I'll wake up and be like, oh, my hand is totally numb. And I'll have to be like, okay, like it's still there. But they think it's mostly now like a residuals and that the Lyme has died and that I have like, I'm taking this medication. I could talk called Wilco. No, it's called Welcol, actually.
Really?
W-E-L-C-H-O-L. And it's supposed to like bind toxins and take them through your body.
Because when the bugs die in you, it's like all those toxins. That's what makes you feel really bad.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
It is. No. It is.
So you're way on the upswing.
I am way on the upswing.
Good.
But I have to say something. Good. While I was working at Not Safe, I had a crazy thing happen also that Nikki helped me through, which is that I had a brain hemorrhage.
Holy shit.
What?
Just a stroke.
I had a stroke last year.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
From the Lyme.
Yeah.
From
cause.
Oh, my God. Please.
This is so
crazy.
When
did this happen?
So last year in April, I was writing on Not Safe. I went on a trip. Like, it was our break. I went to Hawaii, came back, was feeling amazing. Went on a walk around the reservoir. Came home, masturbated, and when I climaxed, everything went black.
Whoa, that's a good orgasm.
That's
you
what
gave
I thought.
Yourself a brain hemorrhage.
That was my first thought. I was like, oh my God, that was powerful. But then my vision came back. The room was really bright. It looked like how you'd imagine like a bomb going off or something.
Wow.
And I went into the bathroom and I was like, oh wait, I can't see my hand. Like when it's here, I can see my hand. When it's here, I can't see it.
She was doing this for weeks.
And I went to Nikki's house, and I was like, Nikki, I can't see my hand. And I kept going like this with my hands.
Oh, that was a bad day.
Wow.
And then I had to get an MRI and stuff, eventually led to that. And they were like, oh, yeah, you had a brain hemorrhage. So that was, and I was working at Not Safe at the time. And it was like so, that was another thing where I was like, I don't know what I would have done had I not been around Nikki at that time because she was literally the only person who like got it, talked through stuff with me. Dan St. Germain was
I'm
lovely.
Just kidding.
You're right.
Oh,
right.
Was there
a moment where
Dan fell on me while I was having this stroke. And he spilled ranch dressing everywhere.
Was there a moment where a doctor grabbed your hand and said, this isn't Lyme, you're just great at jerking off?
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh yeah, a doctor will be like, well, not everything's caused by Lyme. And it's like, really? I was in perfect health before I got bitten by this stupid insect.
So was it a mini? It was a mini stroke, I would imagine, right? It wasn't a major stroke?
No, it was not. It wasn't a TIA. TIA is the little one where they're like, oh, you had a clot and it passed through. This was a break in a vein.
Wow.
And that bled into my brain. And the fact that the doctor was like, the fact that you are not in the ER right now is, it was a miracle. But they still didn't figure it out. They still haven't figured it out.
And no one cares about figuring it out. You have to be the one that cares about it.
I care about it.
That's the insane part. Yeah.
So I have to be like,
well, we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another.
Yeah. If do you guys talk about Lyme on this at all? If you don't know about Lyme disease, fucking Google that shit
and if you have any
questions, yourself.
You can send them to me. My wife has had Lyme for 8 years.
It is so fucked. Because doctors won't acknowledge that it's a thing.
Insurance companies are actively attempting to make people believe that it is not an actual disease.
Yes, and it is.
Because they don't know how. It's very expensive to treat, and they don't have like a
so doctors who do treat it, like, get in trouble. Big trouble.
They get in trouble. So people are like on the fly, like not writing Lyme on stuff, just to have like.
So to get treatment for anything, like if Lizzie has another type of sickness, she can't go to a general practitioner and be like, oh, I do have Lyme, so how does this
people will treat you like you're a lunatic.
Like you're not getting acknowledged at Lyme.
I've been with doctors, with Lauren, where like she's like, I have chronic Lyme, and you just see them go, this person's crazy.
Yeah. Ugh.
And it's like, in 10 years, I swear to God, this is going to be the hugest thing. You're going to see that there's an active cover-up.
Right.
Like, this is a conspiracy
by the
fucking health insurance companies to not fucking
fund
this shit.
It's created by the government.
It's so insane.
Wasn't it warfare? Like, they were testing chemical warfare that got into ticks?
They think
ticks?
It was a bioweapon that was created on Plum Island, which is near Lyme, Connecticut, that there was a scientist who was, like, creating something to make people think they were going crazy that their tests would kind of come out normal, but that they'd be like, I'm having seizures. And suddenly everyone in Lyme, Connecticut was getting sick, like whole families. And so now what's happening with global warming and migration patterns changing is that now it's rampant now on the West Coast, they're saying.
Yeah, it's rampant.
It's everywhere. Yeah. And you can get in the city, and it's not just deer who carry these. It's birds.
It's everything.
It's skunks. Like, every kind of animal has ticks.
Yeah.
And now it's going to come. It has to come
it's
to the surface.
Come out. It's going
to
come out.
All these people who think they have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue,
they're
finding out they have Lyme.
And even advanced, like, if you've read that there's speculation that, like, things like ALS or
MS
are just advanced Lyme.
Yeah.
Parkinson's.
Yeah, I read an interesting thing about Michael J. Fox actually getting a tick bite. And he and this other guy who also got bitten by a tick both got treated for Lyme and then both later got sick, diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Wow. That it, like, triggers something.
I hope
that's
I'm
insane.
Getting that story
it's
right.
Just
but it's
so
yeah, it's
fucking...
Whole,
yeah.
How's Lauren
and the tests are
her?
Not accurate.
You know, we you know, for, like, multiple years spent all of our money on treatments, and a lot of them didn't work, and then we finally got one that, like, worked enough that her inflammation went down that she could get pregnant. And that's what we were, like, waiting, and then finally... And then the pregnancy actually kind of, like, rejiggered her immune system, because... With Lyme, it's a lot of people have it, but their immune system is just deals with it, and you kind of have it, but it doesn't affect. And then, but if it compromises your immune system, it actually becomes like an autoimmune disorder for you.
Jesus.
So it's the thing. So she'll always have Lyme, but I think now hopefully her immune system is strong enough to keep it in check.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and also, it is time, you know.
For what?
For our final segment.
Oh,
oh my
it is?
God, this,
oh.
Yeah.
This has flown by.
This has flown by.
How much, cut this part out, what I'm about to ask, please, Andrew. How long is the actual episode? Because we have so much...
back and forth.
At the beginning that's not part of it.
Somewhere between 2 and 5 isn't accounted for, but if you guys want to go over...
Oh,
okay.
Two, okay.
If you
want to
go over a little, go for it.
No. Yeah. That's fine. We don't need to go
I
over.
To
we just As long as we have 45
I'm
minutes, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So it's time for our final segment.
Yeah, this is called Air It Out,
mm-hmm.
And this is where you each get a turn to share something with the other person that you have never shared with them. It can be...
Something that bothered you?
Yeah, it can be...
That you never mentioned?
A grievance that you felt awkward bringing up.
It's so dangerous.
I know,
but,
I'm
hold on. It can also,
it
can also, though, be something very sweet or that you maybe were a little embarrassed to ever say because you couldn't find the right time. So it could go either way.
You can go first if you want. I'm trying to think of one.
I know, I'm trying to.
The best one. My friend, what I've learned from being friends with Lizzie is that I would be, and I hope you don't take this, this might sound bad, so this is like good and bad, but I think I'd be a good mother.
Wait, why?
I know that sounds bad, but I feel nurturing. I feel like empathetic. I feel, like, I am a good, like, I've never seen that side of myself. And being Lizzie's friend, I've had to be with her through some hard times. And I care about her so much. And I feel like it's a very, I just have been nurturing to Lizzie. And I don't see that side of myself a lot.
It's interesting that you say that to connect it back with what we were talking about before about Giant Baby.
I know. I was just thinking.
Oh, my God.
Where you were.
Like, we're still
mother.
Pitching the Giant idea, Child.
You're still, or Giant Child. You're still pitching
but
Giant
I
Child.
I also feel like I look to Lizzie for motherly things that I didn't get from my mother. And, like, I really appreciate her. I mean, she never judges. Like, the friend I was talking about before who I did something, like, morally corrupt recently. And
what?
I don't want to, I would never talk about it here. I'll talk about it in, like, a month when it's all shakes out. But I did something morally corrupt and was scared to tell my friend who's, like, works on herself so much. And Lizzie works on herself, too. But Lizzie came at it with no judgment and was just, like, made time to listen. And she was going through something when I was going through this, too. So it was kind of hard because we were both, like, wanting to talk to each other about this thing that we were trying to work out. And but I was able to reason with her and be like, can we take a break from your thing right now? And I can just flood you. And she, like, listened. And she's just... We have lunch every single day. She's like my life partner.
Yeah,
that's the
we
mustard
spend,
seed.
Yeah, we go
right?
there every day.
Really?
Yeah, my friend Kat works there. She
yes, I we love Kat.
She's wonderful.
We're like, we love
we
Kat.
Love Kat.
Well, that was a good air now. Yeah. Lizzie, do you have
something? Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think.
And really just dig deep to, like, dig something at her, you know? Yeah. Really.
I wasn't
stick
sure.
It to her good.
I wasn't. This is something maybe that, like, I wasn't sure that keeping Marion was the right thing at first.
Ooh.
Who's Marion?
It's her second dog. So okay. Nikki took a foster dog, and my feelings have changed, but I never told you this.
I wish you would have.
Well, I think I was like, I played devil's advocate when you were considering
okay.
getting
yeah,
Marion.
That's what you're
I did,
at.
But
you're
I didn't
good.
Say, don't do it. Yeah. I just was like,
Marion
are you sure
dog?
You're going to want two dogs?
She looks 100, but she's one.
That's so true. She does have like a grandmotherly, like
she
slightly
looks really
frazzled.
Old and gross.
That is so funny.
But I got her just, I was only going to foster. I really did not want another yeah. dog, and I was ready to part ways with her. But then I saw my other dog getting so much exercise with her that I ended up keeping her for him. Like, I don't really, mm-hmm. now I love her, but at first I was like, okay.
Yeah. I had a second dog for 3 days, and I was
shut
like,
up, really?
Yes, yeah.
And you got rid of her?
Well, my dog wasn't into it. My dog was like, get this fucking
oh, my dog wasn't either, but
here.
Even really? Fighting her off, he was getting yeah. more exercise that I was like, you're, you got, you have a sibling now.
So, that's great.
Yeah,
well, that's
yeah
nice.
But okay, so is that it?
Yeah.
But now
I
you change your mind. Now you think
yeah.
I'm okay with
and
it?
And now I like it.
Well, I feel often that I wish I didn't have dogs. Like, there are times where I could see myself being a mother and being like, oh my God, why did I do this to myself? But with dogs, you can just, like, send them away and
yeah.
not feel
but
bad. Like, they can go be... Like, I get to go on vacations
so
and they just get to be babysat for 5 days yeah. and have the best time and not even think about me because they're having a better
right.
time.
Yeah.
I think, too, like, there's something in friendship where you tend to project onto the other person. Like, I wouldn't want to have two... And I think I was doing that a little bit and then told myself, like, but you're not Nikki.
Yeah.
You're not
right.
this... Like, you're really close, but you're not the same person.
Well,
kind
I'm
of
glad
like,
you thought that you were me.
Detach
you.
A little bit. Yeah.
That's cool.
Great.
Codependent.
Thank you both for joining us. This was a great
this
one.
This was so fun.
Thank you
what,
so
you guys
much.
Have stuff
we
got to
do a part
plug.
Two.
Yeah.
This show on Saturday that the three of us are doing.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Yeah. Is this going to come out right away?
It'll
We've
come out.
And that's Kat's show.
Yeah.
It's Kat's show, and we're all doing it.
So will that be?
No.
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 This will
come out Wednesday.
Well, you missed a good one. And,
yeah, you did.
I don't know. I'm NikkiGlaser.com for tour stuff. I'm all over the place right now.
Follow me on Snapchat. I do really good
oh,
Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. Lizzie's so funny on Snapchat oh. and
Visit
Instagram.
Okay.
Visit Lizzie. Visit Lizzie. Lizzie, L-I-Z-Z-Y.
Yes.
Okay. Kurt and I are taking this shindig on the road. September, we had Vegas for... The something festival.
Scoops Festival.
The
it's
Scoops
going to be
festival.
There September 23rd. We're also doing stand-up, so go to scoopsfest.com.
Yeah, Scoops. And the pod at Scoops. And then in November, Austin, Dallas, and Houston. Austin and Dallas, I believe, will just be headline or us doing comedy.
Austin's, I think, the 15th of November at the North Door. And then we're both at different places in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Then we're in separate places in Dallas, so go see one of us. I bet more people come see me. I'm kidding.
I think so.
And then Houston, come and take it fest. We'll be doing a co-headlining show and then also the podcast live. So,
see you then.
Oh.
What? Seeing you guys, guys are co-headlining?
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. a fucking good show.
Well,
it's
thank
a good show.
You. I'll be, this is a...
Your fans know that, though.
I'll be, starting tonight, when the day this drops, I'll be in San Francisco at the Punchline.
Nice.
All weekend. So come out tonight or tomorrow or Friday or Saturday.
Feral Audio.